the rest of the story. Once upon a time in the dark ages of medicine, in a world without anticoagulants and antihistamines and antibiotics and antiseptics, there was one antidote for just about any ailment, a solitary treatment for myriad disorders, and the ancient prescription was laughter. Laughter. No, more than just a positive mental attitude, specifically merriment, laughter. Henri de Mondeville was a professor of surgery who taught and practiced around the turn of the 14th century, and his prescription for recuperation was mirth. A surgeon could be assured of his patient's complete recovery, de Mondeville declared, by allowing his relatives and special friends to cheer him and by having someone tell him jokes. Conversely, he said, the surgeon must forbid anger, hatred, and sadness in the patient. This was a common position of medieval physicians. Surgeons and doctors disagreed only regarding the form in which humor was to be administered. 300 years past de Mondeville's time, Richard Mulcaster and Robert Burton wrote individually and extensively on the therapeutic nature of laughter. During the reign of King George III, there was an English physician, Dr. William Batty, who is now recognized as a pioneer in the field of mental illness. Not only did he regularly prescribe laughter in the treatment of his mental patients, but it's recorded the Dr. Batty once had a sane young patient with a virtually inaccessible abscess in his throat, and that the abscess had enlarged to the point that it threatened the young man with suffocation, and that finally, after Dr. Batty had exhausted his repertoire of medications and his young patient was about to strangle, the desperate physician resorted to humor. Now listen to this. He set his wig crooked and made silly faces until he had evoked the eruptive laughter which burst the abscess and saved the patient's life. 1928, an American physician, Dr. James J. Walsh, published an impressive book-sized treatise entitled Laughter and Health. In it, Dr. Walsh attempts to unravel the mystery of why laughter increases one's resistance to disease. We're now only beginning to understand. Editor Norman Cousins wrote in 1976 that he had laughed his way to recovery from a degenerative spinal condition. And this led many researchers to re-examine the subtleties of adrenaline metabolism and the occurrence of beta endorphins in the blood and even the electrophysiology of the brain. Almost 700 years after de Mondeville forbade his patients to be angry or hateful or sad, stress is now almost universally acknowledged as a potential root cause of some illnesses. And yet Henri de Mondeville was hardly the first to make such a suggestion. For it is in the search for new answers that the old answers are often justified. For example, may I quote, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." I said, a cheerful heart is good medicine. King Solomon wrote those words in the book of Proverbs more than 3,000 years ago. And now you know the rest of the story.